the Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches invites you to our 2017 Holy Convocation, Tuesday, September 12th through Saturday, September 16th, here at Bethel Deliverance International Church. This year's theme is Serving One Another. Join us for a special week of services beginning Tuesday, September 12th at 7 o'clock p.m. as Pastor Susie C. Owens of Greater Mount Calvary Holy Church delivers an impactful message from God. Bringing forth the Word of God on Wednesday, September 13th at 7 o'clock p.m. is Bishop David G. Evans of Bethany Baptist Church. Thursday, September 14th at 7 o'clock p.m., we will be in for yet another treat as Reverend Deborah Crawley of Childs Memorial Baptist Church brings us a powerful message from God. On Friday, September 15th at 7 o'clock p.m., prepare to receive a dynamic word from our leader and pastor of Bethel Deliverance International Church, Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. For the closing night of our celebration, Saturday, September 16th at 5 o'clock p.m., bring your teenagers out to our Teen Live event. So be sure to join your BDIFC family for our 2017 Holy Convocation, Tuesday, September 12th through Saturday, September 16th, here at Bethel Deliverance International Church.
If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
So God says, when you stand at the judgment seat, now this is a very sober concept. We, including me, are going to stand before Jesus, and he pulls out your record. And he doesn't look so much at the results. Yes, the results are also at the judgment, but it's the motive. What's driving you today? What motivates you? And that motive will be assessed. God will pull it up, and it will be so painful that Paul says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Here's what that means. My work could have five-star results, but if my motive is impure, I lose those works. Because my motive was wrong, my works are burned up. I'll still be saved. This is not to establish salvation. Salvation is dealt with. If I make it to the judgment seat, I'm saved. But everything I do is brought before God. Now, it's not one-sided. The Bible declares in 2 Corinthians 5, 8 through 10, we are confident and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We therefore labor, whether we're present or absent, so we can be accepted of him. That means everything I'm doing, whether I'm in his presence or separated by this physical life, I want to be accepted by him. Now, the devil is subtle. He comes in, and the Bible says he comes as an angel of light, which means he falsely represents God but plays to our motivations. He knows what we want to do. He knows if we want to be great, so he'll appear as God and say, start this church. And we'll say, the Lord told me to start the church. And those kinds of people only draw those kinds of people. Because God is just. You reap what you sow. If you sow a church, if you sow a church out of disobedience and rebellion, you're going to reap members that are disobedient and rebellious. And so the enemy comes as an angel of light. He'll tell you to move, to get you away from the things of God. I want you to understand that if God moves you, he will already tell you where you can go to worship. There is no, well, God told me to move to New Hampshire. Are there any churches up there that preach the word? He would have told me that before he wanted me to move. You think God's going to call me from a smorgasbord to McDonald's? You don't leave Shady Maple and still be hungry. If you do, you got tapeworm. And so Paul says that we are going to appear at the judgment seat that everyone may receive the things done in his body, 2 Corinthians 5:10, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. See, we think that just because we're saved, there's no more accountability. Praise the Lord. There's no more accountability. I'm saved. I'm forgiven. I can just live any way I want to live. No! Eternal salvation does not remove responsibility. The sovereign will of God does not remove our responsibility to participate with it. Go to Romans chapter 1. And see, this is where the enemy attacks us, because he keeps us from realizing our responsibilities. Salvation, while it is a glorious gift of God, it doesn't come without responsibility and accountability. You're not just going to get saved and float into heaven a hot mess. You can't just bring God whatever you want to bring him and expect him, because he's so merciful, and just expect him to take whatever you give him. And so this is the problem that we have. This is why I believe that early in Christian doctrine, they taught the possibility of you losing salvation. They did it to hold you in line. They knew that if people began to feel that their salvation was not expendable, so to speak, that they could not lose that salvation once they were genuinely saved, they thought that these people would begin to live helter-skelter lives without responsibility, and they were right. So what they did was tell the people, now that you're saved, you have to live a certain way or you're going to lose it. Doctrinally, it created a fear that wasn't necessary, but I understand their mindsets. They were trying to guard us from slipping back into a lifestyle that was dishonorable to God. Now, I have a little problem with it theologically, but let's look here in Romans chapter 1. Paul says in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." He says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Because when they knew God, gnosko, personal, intimate knowledge of God, when they knew him, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Well, what caused the imagination to become vain, and what made the heart darkened? Their pursuit after lifestyle contrary to the will of God. I do a lot of experimenting with the human psyche, because now it's my world. It's my world. So now for me, prior to this pursuit, everything was demons for me. But now, because of where I am, my world is psychological understanding. Now mix that with the Holy Ghost, and you're on the right path. But now I try to assess some things in people to try and discover the why. We are prone to follow what's followable. We can't help it. We can't help it. For example, do you remember how you were when you first started your job? Never took a break longer than what you were supposed to take, on time, and sometimes even before you had to be there. You were 15 minutes earlier. You'd work. You wouldn't even be on your computer sending emails and texts and all that other foolishness during working time. You were the model light because you just started. But then you began to notice the behavior of your contemporaries. But most importantly, you noticed they were getting away with it. You slid into that behavior without even knowing it. Now you're running for the clock 2 minutes before it's time to get there, and sometimes, you know, not even swiping in on time. 10-minute breaks have now become 15 and 20-minute breaks. Why? Because everybody else is doing it. We operate under the mode of everybody else is doing it. There was a time when Christians married until their spouse was graveyard dead. Now they marry until they're tired of them. And it doesn't take much. We just divorce for any cause. It don't even matter. I don't love them no more. What's love got to do with marriage? Marriage and love are not synonymous. You don't have to walk around all starry-eyed. Baby, I love you, and, you know, I'd cross the desert for you. I ain't crossing no desert for Sister Lambert. I'll send her a ticket and let her fly herself back home, but I ain't crossing no desert for her. Baby, I'll swim the Pacific for you. No, I won't. Here's a ticket. Get on that boat. I'll meet you in San Francisco. I'm not going to make stupid statements when you're sitting there. Oh, baby, how's this taste? Sugar, it tastes good as long as you cooked it. No, I don't like it. Get me a hot dog. See, you follow me here. We create this world that can't be sustained. And the same way with God. Lord, I love you. I love you, Lord. Lord, I'll give my life for you. And then God sits somebody next to you who's a devil and you can't handle it. God said, how in the world are you going to give your life for me and you can't even handle this? Saints will tell you, praise God, I tell you, I'm growing in the Lord, and he's just blessing me. And then a decision is made against what they want, and then they leave church. But I thought you were growing in God.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
7417A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44. At 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m., and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.